You're listening to an episode of the Formed and Sent podcast from the week of May 27th, 2019. In the last episode of our podcast, we had part one of a two-part conversation all about where the Village Church is now. A couple of episodes ago, we had Pastor David Hackney on to talk about Cedar City Church and his vision for planting that in Lebanon, Ohio. And we had him on because he was sent out along with a core group of people from the village to go plant that church just about a month ago. And so we wanted to hear from him and about that process, but we also want to talk about where that leaves the Village Church. And so we started that conversation last week by just looking at the state of the union of the church and us as pastors, as well as just looking ahead and where we think God might be steering the church in the coming months and years. And so in this part of the conversation, we just take a look back at the last 10 years and how God may have been using that to prepare us for this moment, for even the next 10 years or 50 years of this church body. And we also just talk about what we're inviting all of you into, challenging you to do right now as part of this family that we call the Village Church. So if you would like some more information about the Village, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We hope this is helpful. Enjoy. Looking back, I guess, so on the last 10 years, we've kind of mentioned, like, there's obviously a lot to celebrate and all that stuff, and things different, things the same, you know, maybe as we look ahead the next 10 years. But man, how did the last decade prepare us for maybe where we want to go in the next?
I think it laid a good foundation for us. Certainly not a perfect one, but when I think of the last decade, the Lord allowed us to wrestle through a lot of things in regards to relationships and even theology, mm-hmm. how we function, what we think mission is, or what we think group should be, or what we think whatever. And I think about like some of the big things we wrestled through, like what deacons should be. And mm-hmm. gosh, not that we, you know, perfectly know all that the Bible says about it, but we have a really good handle mm-hmm. on what we believe the Bible says about deacons. And we talk about complementarianism, or we talk about you name it, how we do mission or whatever. Like, we've gotten mm-hmm. to wrestle through those things sometimes. It was tough. A lot of times it was tough, and certainly there was, you know, we get to grow from those things. But I think the last 10 years for us, we've gotten to really set in place process and procedures that really will set us up well for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, if I could like summarize that, like I had the same thought, like we know who we are, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. Because then you get to live in that, mm-hmm. and you get to live as that and multiply that. And I think we have an incredible church culture that elevates the word, that if we for 3 weeks in a row like didn't make Christ the center of our transformation on a Sunday, like we would justifiably get, you know, rebuke for that, like from the people, like mm-hmm. what are you doing? You know, like, what are we, just moralists now? Or, you know, like, which is fantastic. And so that holds us accountable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and then, like, we've loved well. You know what I mean? And as a community, just figuring out what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, 10 years ago, you're primed for disillusionment mm-hmm. in every outlet. You think that theological growth looks like this, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you think that, like, oh, we just want to be a community. You think it looks like roses, and it looks like thorns. Mm-hmm. And you think that, you know, whatever it is, you think that it's just this perfect, and it's just mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. And so that leads me to be humbled, dependent, more than ever, mm-hmm. But then also just depending on this church, like, you know what I mean? Like, literally depending on them to be the church. Mm-hmm. I feel like personally I'm tougher because of it, but also softer. And I remember a couple years ago we made a shift to like pastoral care in a little bit of a different way. And that came mm-hmm. out of the fact that, like, oh, we have, oh, we have great system structures or whatever, and people aren't cared for in a way that they should be. And so like, I feel like that softened us. And those things will continue to come up, and we continue to figure out what it looks like. But I feel more caring than I've ever been. I feel like we are at least mindful of that. And more eager to just plant the gospel and let the church grow because of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would speak to that disillusion piece a little bit, too. Like, just, I know for me and for a lot of people, I mean, even us, I think, in some ways, like, not knowing what it's like to be part of a local church that's about the gospel and built on the theology that we have and mission and all of that. And for some of us, like, that are part of the village, it's the first church we've ever really been a part of, you know, like, because we didn't know Jesus before. Maybe we did, but we've never really committed to a local body. And so what does that look like? Like, that's been a whole new experience for pretty much all of us in a lot of ways. And so you do go through those 10 years and you think it's going to look one way. You think healthy community looks like everyone gets along, you know, and there might be little bumps, but like, no, you pursue reconciliation and that just happens. But like, no, there's like, you know, and people are shooting at each other and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, like that, yeah, it's, that's what it looks like. And you read the New Testament, you read the epistles or whatever, and what Paul is writing to the churches, and you're like, man, these people are really messed up. I mean, and then like, you know, you get a decade into church planting, you're like, no, yeah, that's that like that's two. Right. That was last week. You know, that sounded like my Tuesday. You know, and so that's just. I think that's a gift, because I think while for us, like, going through that, you know, again, so much to celebrate, but the stuff that was disillusioning or unexpected or whatever, like walking through that and realizing, you know, what I've had to realize, like, no, this is just what it means to be part of the church, or like, this is what it means to be a pastor, or this is just what it is, you know? And so like, man, that's, last 10 years, I think, preparing us for what the next 10 years and 50 years or whatever it looks like for us, because that's sort of the life. But what we get to do now is realize, like, God has not abandoned us, like, you know, in those things. And you know, it's not like there's not some mortal, fatal wound, you know, in the church because, you know, we were experiencing this or whatever. And we get to, like, come alongside other people who maybe are experiencing themselves that for the first time, over and over. And we get to say, yeah, like, totally get it. And you know what? Like, even though it hurts and this isn't fun, like, man, this is what we get to do as a body, you know? And so we get to step into that as, you know, I don't know, like, not cold and callous, but callous in the sense that, man, we've been doing this work, all of us as a church, for 10 years. And so we know that, like, it's painful, but over time you get those calluses that help you do the same thing, but do it without flinching maybe as much. And so, yeah.
I think, too, it's, I didn't mean to, as an example of what just came to my mind when you were talking, is a couple that looks at another family with children before this couple has kids, and you're like, if I have kids, I'm never going to do that, or my kids won't. And then all of a sudden you give that couple a child for 10 years and they get to certainly raise them in the way, but you're softer to like, oh gosh, well, I can't control this. Or certain things, you could be the perfect parent and your child still might have issues or problems or whatever. And I think that's maybe a good way to sum up the last 10 years. Before, when we planted this church, we were like, well, we won't do this, and this is how this is going to look. And in our ignorance, we thought, like, this is just going to happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we kind of had a kid, and now we're looking back 10 years on this child, and we're like, wow, like, we are, man, that was the best thing ever, but the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
But we are more mature for it, I think, going forward. Yeah.
Isn't it funny? I mean, you can, in arrogance, you know, in youth or whatever, like, look at Paul and say, yeah, you're dealing with this stuff. Like, gosh, you know, you're building your own, you're making your own bed. Like, and you're just lying in it, Paul. You know, it's like, I mean, Jesus, the same thing. You know, Jesus couldn't grow a mega church, and, like, his people hated him. We're going to do better. Like, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
And so, like, it is, like, the beauty of it is that it's just tough, and relationships are tough, and we say every week, every time we're together, like, gosh, things are broken. They're not like they ought to be. And that's what we live in. And that's what God uses, us broken, limping, fragile, frail people to advance his mission, to love one another. And so I think that can do one of two things. It can callous you, which we've probably all seen. And maybe we felt like, gosh. Or it can make you, it can soften you. Mm-hmm. And like that's, the beauty is that I sit at this table with you two brothers, and include Adam in that and many others, our wives, mm-hmm. and many others, and say, gosh, I that it is the gospel and all that we've set out to believe and all that we've set out to herald and being a gospel-formed community is the thing that either, if you're not that, you grow calluses mm-hmm. and you begin tending and performing and all that, or because the gospel is at the heart of who we are, it makes you warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With scars or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah. And I think kind of like the next question is just what, well, actually it's not the next question, but I'm going to jump a question to like what I hope is different in the next 10 years or whatever. And
nothing.
Just thinking about like one of the things is like, because, you know, we're hopefully softer and yet tougher at the same time as a church. Like, I just think of our, like how we have grown and who is connected with us. And by and large, like 99% of us are very similar, you know, like we've attracted like-minded people by and large, you know, to this church. And yet, even though we've attracted like-minded people, like we have discovered that it's like, it can be really tough, you know? And so hopefully that disillusionment that like, man, like that those similarities on the surface don't necessarily mean much when you're like just human beings that are still sinning, yeah. even though you might be saints. Man, that's still like we get to hopefully be a little bolder in inviting people that are totally different than mm-hmm. us into yeah. this family, into this yeah. into this church. Like, and so that's one of the things that I do want to see different is, man, A, that like there are less Christians coming here on Sunday. Hopefully there are more Christians going out on Sunday yeah. than what came in. But you know what I mean? Like there are more non-Christians here and there are more people that are just different than us. Different, you know, neighborhoods, socioeconomic stuff or whatever, like all of those things. I would love to see that over the next 10 years and don't expect that to be like a huge shift or swing or whatever because by and large we are where we are throughout the day and that's probably a lot of people like us. But man, that's something that I hope that all of us individually mm-hmm. would grow in is just the desire, even though I know this person maybe is very different than me, and I don't know that, like, I don't know that they're going to jive with everything I say. I don't even know if they jive with Jesus, right? But I'm going to invite them in, yeah. and that might be messy, but guess what? Like, the last 10 years has been messy with a lot of yeah. people that are just like you. And so, yeah. and we've survived, and God, like, has been victorious and good to us throughout that. So, mm-hmm. that's one of the things in terms of the difference. For it.
That's great.
Other things that you guys would like to see, like, different maybe over the next 10 years than what the last 10 years has provided. We'll go back to the other question.
Very good. I would love to see us have a greater presence in the city. And I say that knowing that so many people are in the schools and serving faithfully and at their jobs and work. So I don't mean that we're not doing anything. But I talked to a neighbor who's a pastor, and he said this with a pure heart. He said, we want, and they said it for their church, but we want for our church, the village, to be the church that this city thinks of when they need something or when they have a problem, when they think of spiritual things, we want them to think, gosh, the village. And that's not to say that there's no other churches that are doing a good thing, but we want to have that presence. We want to be out in the city. We want to be able to have, you know, picnic in the parks where it's local and people can join with mm-hmm. us. And we want to be prayer walking and we want to be out about the needs of the city and just knowing the shops. But when people have a problem, how cool would it be if we go to the bank and talk about our church and all of a sudden they have something come up in their life where they say, I need some spiritual guidance or I need help. And they think of the village church,
yeah.
not out of pride for us, not of saying we're the best, but just they know that we care and something is different mm-hmm. about us. And we have that relationship built up. We've had those conversations to where they go to hear. And that's what I would love to see us grow in over time in the schools and wherever we work as we're out and about, that the city of Hamilton and even the communities we're in outside of Hamilton think of the village as a place where I would want to go.
Yeah, that's good. You? Anything, Michael?
I mean, I think we've sought to be right. And anybody would say that. I think anybody that knows us as a church, I think we would probably tell people that. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to be right, and not with ill motive or whatever, but meaning theologically precise yeah, yeah. and all those things. We care about precision.
Mm-hmm.
But that would, like, compel us to be bold. and there wouldn't be a disconnect between mm-hmm. what we think and what we do. We want to live out the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We want to love well. We want to live out the scriptures. And that means a lot. And that means engaging mm-hmm. the culture around us. But, Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. Like, we want to be right. We want to get God right. And, mm-hmm. and we believe that the reason why that's so important is because what you do is it comes out of what you believe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's not to reduce the theological clarity around
right,
here.
Right.
If anything else, increase biblical literacy and all yep. those things. But just that it would continually, like, transmit to the way that we live. Mm-hmm. And that is families, that's mm-hmm. that's kids, that's husbands and wives, that's in our singleness, that's mm-hmm. in our sin and our celebration, all those things. Mm-hmm. But certainly as it relates to interacting with the culture around us, that we would just be bold proclaimers mm-hmm. of the mystery of the gospel, because it's not a mystery to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one thing I've observed, like just observing 10 years, you know, like beginning, we're all hungry. And I mean, you alluded to the conversation you had with somebody earlier about like, yeah, we used to have people in our homes, you know, like just that idea. And there could be lots of reasons why that's a less frequent thing now or whatever. But just the idea that like we're hungry for relationships and wanting to invite new people into stuff, having folks over for dinner all the time, or grabbing coffee or getting lunch after a gathering, mm-hmm. or just being very like proactive and initiating a lot and bringing people into community group or bringing people into Sundays or bringing people into just friendships. And I think like what ends up happening over time, or what happened over time, is like, you know, we grew slowly, like which is a gift, you know, that we grew yeah. slowly over time, over 10 years. But like, I think we did see, and you hear about this and like church mm-hmm. growth stuff or whatever, but I think they're like, for us, it was almost like we reached kind of like a stagnant point a little bit, like where you know, we had those initial folks, they invited people in, mm-hmm. right? And those people stuck. And then maybe those people then invited other people in, and maybe those people stuck. But then, like, it's just so easy, like, with every kind of generation of yeah. stickiness, it gets a little less sticky. Mm-hmm. You get a little less hungry because you look around and there's a lot of people here. And, well, I have friendships. Like, I already have friendships. I have relationships. My group is full. Mm-hmm. You know, my schedule is packed, and I've got people, you know, that I'm hanging out with. And you just get less hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think for the next 10 years, like one thing I want to keep the same is that like what we've heard for 10 years is that we are like people feel loved and welcomed. Mm-hmm. And I think community is like a huge thing here. But I think what I want to see over the next 10 years is this like greater hunger to like multiply
yeah.
that like desire, that hunger or whatever for people to stick. And so like, man, being willing to being excited / not excited, I get the not excited part of like multiplying groups, or I think it comes down to discipleship stuff too a little bit, like if like wanting people to initiate those one-on-one or like 3-4 people getting together, but then like to then go do that with other people after yep. a year or two or whatever and invite other people into that or whatever that looks like, but to kind of multiply that desire to see people come in and stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one of those things that I would love to see the next decade or whatever. So, so what do you guys hope is the same from the last 10 years?
I mean, gosh, I could say a million things, but just to continue to be a humble family living and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus mm-hmm. alongside one another. I mean, or a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's word. but really, like, that we would continue to just be humbly following Jesus and inviting others into that, and
mm-hmm.
and by the intentionality of our life, helping them follow Jesus better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so many people have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
So just to be a humble family growing in Jesus, and we've done that well,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. For me, this might sound selfish, but I want to continue to serve alongside those who like to serve along. Like, we have so many great and gifted community group leaders, deacons and servant leaders, people, volunteers, just people who show up, and gosh, this is where the selfish part comes in. Like, I know there's legitimate reasons for people either moving out for jobs or whatever, but it's just so painful when, gosh, someone who you love and you've done life with and they get called out for very mm-hmm. valid reasons. But I, man, selfishly, I just love the people I get to serve alongside. Mm-hmm. I love the people that make Sundays happen and serving in the city and facilitate community groups discussion. I love being able to just be here and see these relationships. I love to see people grow and develop. Mm-hmm. And that is like one of the greatest joys to being here.
Yeah.
And even full time for us is, gosh, we get to be so connected to these people. And I hope we continue to be able to do that for the next 10 years, God willing, knowing that transition does happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, like, another thing I would love to see the same is when we started the village, we had one pastor, and now we have four pastors. Yeah. And we had no deacons, right? Yeah. And now we have, I don't even know how many, we have a bunch of deacons, yeah. right? You know, qualified men and women. And I want to see the same thing over the next 10 years. I want to see four new, maybe it's more, I don't know, but I would love to see four new pastors. I would love to see more deacons, more elders here and deacons serving at the village. And having those people be, I mean, we probably could use some older blood and man, we want to, we desire to hand off the baton to younger leadership and not just like jumping, you know, three generations at a time, but like incrementally. So we desire that. We talk about that. I want to see that happen. For our church, because that is like, you know, step back, big picture, long end game stuff. Like that is how you, one of the biggest ways that you continue the health of a church is by not just like hoarding ownership and keeping the keys in your pocket for 40 years. And then whenever you're like about to kick the bucket, right? Or the car's about to die, hand off the keys to somebody else and give them all your problems. But to invite like folks who are younger than us and gifted in different ways and all that stuff, like into this thing early. Man, I would love to see that over the next 10 years.
And I would love for, like you said, those people to be older and younger and white and black and all of the things.
Yeah.
Like diversity is a thing. And you know, I think I ebb and flow in passion, but then just kind of like, gosh, you know, it's a tough thing. And so a few years back, was that like 2 years ago, we like had some stuff with diversity on the front end of things, and then kind of fades in terms of like emphasis. And so like, I don't know, we don't know, and that's a big thing, not just in our church, but in the church across the globe. Like, how do you legitimately do that? But, and I don't know the answer, but I want to.
For sure. Yep. So what are the things that, like, if people are relatively new to the village, what would you want them to know about the last 10 years? Like, what are the things they've missed on? What maybe don't, what perspective don't they have? Or what do you want them to know that maybe they would just easily miss coming into this thing, you know, 8, 9, 10 years in, that might be valuable for the next 10 years moving forward?
I think to show grace. Gosh, for us, like, you know, we have to do this day in and day out. And I know anyone who's listening does the same thing. And gosh, like, so many people do so many things. And gosh, we here try to like set agendas or try to shape. And I know so many people serve so faithfully, but gosh, it's so easy to be misunderstood. It's so easy to assume. It's so easy to even unintentionally offend. And gosh, like in all areas, from theology to just living life together to serving to, oh, they didn't show up, or that's, I thought they, you know, whatever it is. Gosh, I think just to understand the grace that has been shown to each of us through the cross, through God and His work, and then to be able to extend that. That doesn't mean we don't jump into hard things or address in love or confront. But that means that we extend the grace first, saying, gosh, I know that maybe I don't fully understand where they're coming from, and I want to jump in and then talk about those things, knowing that it might lead to tough conversations, but extending that grace there, knowing that we're not perfect, they're not perfect, and we have to walk alongside imperfectly together.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of the...
Thanks for listening to Matt. We blocked everything else out. I think... it might be overwhelming to continually hear us talk about the past.
Yeah.
And so maybe just to say, gosh, we reference that because that's how we live and grow, and that's been our experience. But we don't live in the past. And
right.
So,
sure.
You know, that's friendships, inside jokes, and, oh, gosh, I just don't feel... That's whatever. That's life. If you're new, you're coming in on chapter 9.
Yeah.
You know, if you're new, and that is okay. And as long as you're aware of that, we're aware of that. And then us as a family, we're coming into this thing on chapter 2000 plus. And yeah. So we're all just a part. And so we invite you into chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And it will take ownership on your part too.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we do, like, gosh, we love assimilation processes. And if you fill out a Connect card, gosh, we want to make sure that we're doing our part to connect yeah. you. But it takes ownership on your part. And so they offer grace, but also, like, don't be afraid to step in.
Yeah.
Like, friendships aren't in any part of life. They're not just handed to you. And so you can join the mission today by asking somebody that's already a part of this church to, like, go out to lunch or yeah. whatever. And so don't feel like, this is awkward. Just jump in.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's easy to show up. And unintentionally, like, I mean, I have no idea what it's like to show up here as a new person.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, what if this week was your first week or whatever? Like, what would you think about where we've been and what's happened? And just what is this thing? Like, you just walk in, it's an established church. It's always been this way, you know, like, and so to walk in and then scan and like, what's here for me and what's not, and what do I like and what I don't like, and not realizing that from our perspective, like, this is a continual work in process, you know, yeah. and especially now it's like yeah. a rework in progress, you know, just because of where we're at. Yeah, and just so that perspective, and you've shared this before, Michael, I forget if it's a particular quote or whatever, but just chatting about, like, you don't set out to plan a church, you should set out to make disciples. Like, mm-hmm. if you set out to start yeah. a church and build a church, like, anybody can do that. You don't need the Holy Spirit or anything to do that work. Like, you could attract people to a building,
yeah.
play some music, give an encouraging message, and then send them out. You know, you can break bread and all that stuff. That's not the, like that, but that not being a church, that's not the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. If you want to make disciples, like, that's a whole other ballgame. And if you do that, yeah. then you get a church from that, because that is the church. But so understanding that, like, if you want to be part of the church, like, it does require ownership, because the commission to make disciples is what we're about, and that's what Jesus has commissioned you to do. And so at the end of the day, like, you can walk in and just be. And just show up and leave and all that stuff. But if that's your thing, then, like, the church doesn't begin with, it ends with you. Like, it ends with you. if that's what the church is just showing up and assuming that things will just continue as they are because they've always been this way, then the church will die with you. And the reality is, like, when you became a disciple, a follower of Jesus, like, the kingdom of God began again afresh in you, and that's what we get to do every time we meet someone or invite someone who doesn't know Jesus to become part of the family, invite them to meet up and hang out. Like, we get to do this thing and start this afresh in somebody new every single time. And so it really is about making disciples, and that requires commitment. And so to, like, to be in and to, man, and to believe that God has actually, like, invited you. Maybe it's not this local church, but he has invited you and wants to be part of a local body because he builds up the church and he has given you particular gifts and the Holy Spirit and all that stuff to serve the body and build it up. Like, that's what you were meant to do. And so for those who maybe don't have the perspective on just all the sweat equity and work and blood and tears and sweat and all that stuff that, like, went into getting to where we are today, which may not seem very impressive at all, to invite you into doing that same thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is a continual work in process. We're always planting this church. God is always at work growing and building his kingdom. And so, like, you get to be invited into a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And like Michael said, like, we reference the past or whatever, and at some point we won't do that as much anymore when we get into the next... like, we'll be thinking about what's ahead,
right?
or the past will be the future as it is right now, you know, with time travel stuff.
I need a flux capacitor. Hold on.
Hey, that's not the way it works according to the Avengers Endgame. But anyways, like, gosh, just that you get to be a part of that future, mm-hmm. and a part of that story. And so, yeah, it's hard work. It's tough. And to your point, what you said earlier, Michael, like we get to be busy about the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want you to be busy. We want you to be, but we also want you to rest well. But we want you to work hard and be committed to doing the right thing, like, yeah. to doing the things that are the most important. We want to do that with you. So, man, at the end of the day, like, what are we calling, challenging, like, villagers to do here? Like, landing the plane, Just what are we asking folks to do?
I think I have the answer. You go first.
Nope.
You go. It doesn't matter.
I'll take a stab. I feel a little more nervous now, a little less confident. So the language is the same, but I just want to emphasize a couple of things. So after every message or in the opportunity to respond, we talk about joining the family, joining the mission. And there are many things that we could kind of tease out with that, as we would say. But gosh, like the biggest things are walking with Jesus, spending time in the Word, which is walking with Jesus, and being about His people. That's joining the family. That's attending gatherings. That's being a part of community group. That's inviting people into those things. And then joining the mission, that's serving, that's generously making much of Jesus in conversation, and then also contributing financially to the village. All those things are important. And we could say a bunch more than that, making disciples, but those are the big things that we really want to encourage people to just be mindful of, especially, again, if you are a Christian at the village, if you are a member of the village, to be about those things.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Let me hit on that. We say that, and certainly it can fall on deaf ears, like be committed to the family, committed to the mission. In the fall, we realign around those things, and we'll continue to do that. For you, just think about, what are those things? What does it mean for me to be committed to this family? And you're going to find out, well, it is, show up. And last night, you know, community group, we have kids all over, and the Malbergs, I love them, and I don't think they were in the room, but for just a couple minutes, and otherwise they were like separated, one in one room, one in the other, with kids and whatever. And I told Sam, you know, like just before we left, I said, Sam, you know, like it's worth it, and it probably didn't feel like it tonight. You know what I mean? And she said, you know what? Like, I was just thinking, like, I remember what you said like a couple weeks ago when you were like, gosh, just show up. Mm-hmm. And like, dude, I know it didn't feel like it was worth it for the Mulbergs. They could have stayed home. The kids probably could have been in bed. They barely got to even interact with other, you know, adult humans. But it's worth it. And like, so for me, it's like that. And maybe on another night, you do stay home, you know, or whatever. But like, commitment to the family, what does that look like? It looks like being around. Lowest bar is you have to be around. And so, yeah, it looks like a million other things. I think if I could say it in one sentence, like, use your resources to help others follow Jesus. And we want to do that. We know that we have a responsibility to leverage the collective resources of the village. That's humans, money, you know, servants, all that stuff, this space, and everything else. But take ownership to use your resources. All, like, everything that means, everything that God has given you to spotlight Him. Use your resources to help others follow Jesus. Gosh, I feel pretty good about that being like a life purpose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's the question is, what are you doing if you're not doing that? I mean, that, at the end of the day, like, if you say you're a Christian and say that you're following Jesus, like, what are you doing if you're not giving what you've been given to the kingdom and for the good of building up the church? Like, and I'm not saying you can't take a break and can't rest and can't enjoy life. Like, I think enjoying God, to your point earlier, like, the three of us sometimes suck at resting. And so, like, we need to get better at not doing things for God, but enjoying God. And so, like, man, we get to certainly enjoy this world that He created and all the things that He gave us that are good. We get to enjoy that stuff. And part of that enjoying is by putting that stuff to work and to use for the kingdom. And there's so much joy to be had in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what it was given to you for. Like, that's why you exist, is to give glory to God and to be part of building the kingdom. And so if you're not doing that stuff, or if you feel like that's like a drag, or that's getting in the way of happiness or convenience or comfort, or you just rather not, I get that. Like, I'm there too. I mean, we lead and host community group. And so, like, man, there are certainly like weeks where it's like, like, our kids have been like, whatever, or, you know? And so it's like, man, it can be exhausting, but then every time, like, but this is what we're here for. Like, we want to open up our home and invite people in and talk about these things. And God always is faithful to do stuff there. And so that's what we get to do with our money, with our time. And so, like, man, who are you discipling? Who are you pursuing after? Who are you inviting regularly into your home or out for coffee or lunch or a beer or whatever? Like, who are you pursuing? And are you opening up your life to someone else to like to do that too. And maybe that's the same person or the same people that you're doing that with. I don't think it has to look like I have to find this younger person or have to find this older person. It can just be like I just want to get to know this guy or these couple of people. And so can we just get together like once a week or once every other week or whatever and hang out and talk about Jesus and be intentional with that time. But like there's so many different ways that can look. But who are you opening up your life to? Are you connected to a group? Are you sitting under the word on Sundays? Are you being known and sharing life with other people and in a way that's allowing the word and the spirit to affect you and change you through others? You know, like, and are you allowing him to do that through you for other people? If you're not doing that, then man, I would just really encourage you. There's so much joy and you might go home tired and exhausted. And we've talked about like the cost of that. It's emotionally and time and money and all that stuff. It can be costly. But you're going to spend that time doing something and you're going to probably spend that money on something and you're going to spend your emotions on something, invested in something. And so, man, let it be a human instead of Netflix. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, can we just do that as a church?
And I hear the obstacles and the opposition to that because we have, we like waffle back and forth between engaging in that. And so that's the call is for us as well. But, you know, I think I shared with somebody this week, like it's okay for 3 months, gosh, you know, a season, whatever. Mm-hmm. You start talking about a year, 18 months, 2 years, that's just a pattern of life of you choosing something else to be more important.
Yeah.
And so like, totally get it. Like we get it. And we're not asking you to do more than you, well, like whatever, but just listen to your excuses and make sure that they hold up. And at the end of the day, you know, to go all John Piper, if your idea of a successful life is collecting seashells, you know, in retirement, like what a sad life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, we like have 5 little kids and, you know, it's not like we get paid like all the big bucks or whatever to do stuff. And, you know, like time is limited and dude, like, meet with people not like in the middle of my day because like we meet with people who have, you know, quote unquote real jobs. And so we have to meet with them before and after work or meet like lunch breaks or just like anybody else would. And our kids get sick and we get tired and, you know, we fight with our spouses and all like all that stuff happens with us too. And yet like we're trying to orient our lives around that as well. Like, and so Kel and I like having similar like revelations of, man, we used to have people over all the time in our home. And it's so easy to say, man, like 5 kids, like we're just exhausted. I mean, Kelly's exhausted by the time I get home and like just days are long and hard. And,
for at all least of us the house in is in good shape though.
Yeah. Right. At least the house, at least all the walls are painted and the floor is great. Yeah, sure. So like there's so many excuses that we can have, but like so once a week, Sunday nights we're gonna have like that's gonna be open doors to someone, you know, some people coming over and having dinner with us. And 2 times a week after work for folks, like hanging out with, you know, dudes and doing discipleship stuff together. And so like just carving out time and just doing it. You know what I mean? Just making time because, man, I want, like, yeah, I've got kids, but I want my kids to see, you know, like us being after the thing that we're supposed to be after. I want, like, come into our messy home, right, and eat peanut butter and jelly for dinner. Like,
off of the floor.
Like, what? Off the floor. Off the dirty floor, right? So, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, there are so many excuses, and I wholeheartedly agree. Like, there should probably be seasons of rest for that. And Kel and I, like, we've taken off or like taking turns, like when we first were having all of our kids or whatever, like, man, we would trade off like going to group or leading group, or we still do that. Like one of us leads and the other one is kind of on kid duty for the whole, like, you figure it out, you know, make it work and all that. But man. And so I guess the invitation is like, if you're wanting to do that and don't know what that looks like, we'd also love to chat with you about that because we've not lived all the experiences, but we've lived some. And so, like, we would love to chat with you about that and alleviate guilt and shame for, like, what you feel like you're doing or not doing or whatever.
And man, resource you to do that well.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's probably not what you think it needs to be, maybe. the yoke of Jesus is easy and light. It's light for you, and it's light for whoever you might want to invite into that as well. And so, yeah. That's good. Gosh, anything else that you guys want to share?
Let's be done.
Let's be done. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Matt? All that stuff we've bounced around.
Like, last thing is, gosh, it's been like, we've talked a lot about where we came from, some specific kind of intentional hopes for this year. We also just want to enjoy the Village Church and have fun.
That's good.
And the three of us don't easily have fun, or we don't celebrate maybe the right things.
Speak
or,
for yourself.
And gosh,
I am very fun.
There are things that, gosh, have to happen, and we want to be really intentional about some things. But at the same time, we just want to like lighten up and have like just joy and just, gosh, be able to like tell jokes and just be fun together. And I think that's just a great way to invite people into those things. We want you guys to know that about us too, that maybe you see us and we're always like zipping here or talking about this problem or addressing the next thing. But man, like, our desire is to just enjoy people, enjoy each other, enjoy the relationships God has given us, and just breathe. And I think too many times, gosh, we are about just stuff and miss just being for a little bit. So anyways, that's just one thing.
And you might say, well, gosh, these guys are a barrel of laughs. And I would quote my wife, and she says of me, oh, no, you're mistaken. Michael's funny. He's not fun.
So. Those are two very different things.
Just to be clear. That's a good point, though. Relax. Have some fun.
Joyfully
believe.
Joyfully believe.
Boldly build.
Boom.
Hey, we've come full circle. Yeah, probably lots more to say. We'll leave it at that.
Nothing else.
That's all there is to say. Okay, thanks for clarifying. Man, hopefully that was helpful. Maybe fleshed out some stuff you've heard or maybe been thinking, and we genuinely, like, man, Jesus is the one that builds this church, and so we want to build you up in Jesus, and we want to be built up in Jesus, and we get to do that together. And so we're excited about the next 10 years. We're grateful for the last 10, and super grateful if you're listening to this and part of the Village that, man, that you're with us in this thing, and we enjoy you. Paul talks about the church being a joy and crowns and jewels and all that stuff, and, like, you know, just feel that way. You know, not that we look at the church and like, ah, look at what we did. But no, we get to treasure you because look at the gift that God has given us in you, you know. So thanks for all that you guys do and for who you are. And hopefully there are a lot more of you over the next 10 years. And we get to celebrate new life and all that. So
I say one more thing.
Yeah, go for it.
I know that there is a certain group of people that listen to this, and we probably hit like maybe some of the main people regularly that do. If we want people to know what we talked about, and I think it'd be helpful, and maybe some people don't even know about this podcast, and so if this has been helpful, or if there's parts in here that you want maybe your friends to hear, we would love it as this comes out if you would just like text this link to somebody else in the Village or outside of the Village.
Yeah.
Because gosh, like, even though we've joked around, there are some serious things that we want our church to know, and maybe this is the way they'll hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sharon. That was the first plug. We've done 219 episodes.
Smash that like button. Subscribe.
We don't want to have advertisers like Snapple, so
ring the bell for notifications.
5-star review.
Thanks, guys. We love you a ton. We'll see you next time.
Love you, Ryan McClure.
Oh, we're not Latin. No, we really do love you.
Yeah.